Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Did You Get My Text? I'm Patton Oswalt.
I'm Meredith Salinger.
We are fresh from the Eternals premiere Hollywood, California. We got to go to a moving picture show last night and put our fancy duds on, and the photographers took our picture on a carpet.
It was pretty fun, and it was our first premiere in a movie. In fact, it was the first time I've been in a movie theater since...
Oh, yeah.
2020, March.
Yeah, we went to one other premiere that...
I was on a roof.
Season 2 Ted Lasso, that was up on a roof. This one was actually in a theater, but you had to get a COVID test and show your card and everything. And it was good. And people, for the most part, wore their masks in the theater. There were a couple of little...
There were some people that were just not wearing their masks, and I was kind of like...
yeah.
Like, trying to be like...
and there was that weird unspoken... That has become a new... status symbol of,
and this is just in general, privilege,
entitlement and privilege of whatever, especially if something applies that helps the common good, that does not apply to me, and I am going to show my privilege by not doing it. Like, that's the new brag, I guess.
I want to say, yes, we were on the red carpet last night, which happened to be a blue carpet.
The blue carpet.
And I was very pleased with my dress. And we took a really cute picture, and I sent it to my three best friends.
You're right.
And let me read what they wrote.
Oh, God. What did your friends say?
It was basically like, damn, you look like such a smoke show. And then I wrote back, I mean, right? Look how finally pretty I look on a red carpet. It's been years. And then she wrote, no, you've always been gorgeous. I wrote, yeah, but fat. And then my other friend wrote, so fat. And then I wrote, see, Ever doesn't lie. And then she wrote, the fattest. And then I wrote, the most fattest ever. And she wrote, fat ass. And then she wrote, the reason I love you the most is instead of being like, shit, maybe I should stop with the donuts, you're like, can I return this for a bigger size? Like a fucking boss.
There you go. Still a humble brag, but whatever.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, why not?
It's also a, it's a... It's a humble brag, yes, but it's also like, hey, fatty.
Yeah.
It's also a diss because other actresses don't do the seismic shuffle the way I do.
The seismic shuffle.
You know, other actresses just stay skinny the whole time.
Right.
And then mine is like, skinny, fat, skinny, fat. Like 6 months of fat and then... 3 weeks of skinny, and then like 2 months of skinny and 2 years of fat. That's how it's on.
Because you know why? Because you're living a life, man.
Because
you're not a slave to the tabloids. You're not a slave to the fashion industry or the fashion police.
No, I just wear a big size get a size up.
Well, anyway, we both liked the Eternals. It was good.
It was really good.
And I went in thinking they ain't going to pull this off because that is a very genuinely weird Marvel property. But they did two smart things. They got Chloe Zhao to direct, who brought this real deep humanistic feel to all the crazy action. And they leaned into the weird Kirby-ness. They didn't try to go, well, this was Jack Kirby's big Chariot of the Gods vision. Let's try to make it more palatable. Let's go even weirder with the Chariot of the Gods stuff. And you're either on board or you're not. And the audience was really on board.
They were... on board, but dear Lord, the lead actress, Gemma Chan.
Oh my God.
Is she the most beautiful woman to grace a screen? Lord, is she beautiful. And she's so good. And her accent is amazing.
While we were watching some interviews with her, we sat down. And when you go to a lot of these premieres now, they project what's going on the blue or red carpet on the screen while you're waiting. So as Gemma is talking in this.
Jesus, what's with the accents, babe?
Because I'm a privileged white suburban male and I can't be bothered. They're interviewing her and she's speaking in the most delicious British diction / elocution, and Meredith is quietly parroting some of the pronunciations just to get it down perfectly.
This is my thing. I love accents. It's one of my favorite things.
Right.
And so if I'm watching, I will listen to the BBC or to Al Jazeera or watch the news, and anyone who ever has an accent, or if I'm watching a show, just under my breath, like if they say, "Welcome to the world of sports," and then I'd be like, "World, world, world," and I'll imitate the word that I think is, you know, fascinating. So wow. Gemma is doing her interview on the red carpet, yeah. And I'm just, first of all, she's so pretty. Mm-hmm. But any word she says, I'm just under my breath going, premier, eternals. And I was, you know, because I practice like that.
Kirby. Jack Kirby.
And then our friend Kumail was so... Now, all of you know him as, like, super funny on Silicon Valley and just, like, a nerd. Mm-hmm. And in this, he is...
Dude got swole.
He's so funny, but he's so handsome. And he plays, like, this Bollywood actor kind of... In addition to...
He's one of the Eternals who decided, you know what, if I'm going to live forever, I'm just going to become a massive Bollywood star.
It's the greatest part of the show. Anyway, he's so handsome and charming. He just, you said it earlier, you actually were texting with him and you said, yeah. What did you say to him?
You're already a kind of, you're a comedic star, and then in one movie you check off cosmic action god and then romantic lead, like, pick a fucking lane, dude.
Yeah, he's so.
He did a good job. He did a really good job. But it was sweet. Like, all the characters have this cool, kind of tragic undertone to them that doesn't bum you out. It's just that's the life they have to live. And what I was really fascinated with was the way they make the movie seem. It's Angelina Jolie's movie. She's in it. She has amazing sequences. She's essentially the team's Hulk. She is this eternal warrior that kind of sometimes can't control the blood rage and is very open about, hey, if someone doesn't calm me down, I'll kill everybody.
That's how I feel at home. If someone doesn't calm me down, I will kill everybody.
Kill everyone I see.
Yes. But she was great. Everybody was great. And it was gorgeous to watch. And there are so many things that are spoiler alerts that until the movie comes out, we can't
talk
about.
Can't say anything, yeah. But it's really fun.
It is fun.
Really fun. Okay, so yeah, Eternals. We liked it. We saw it. We liked it. I don't know what to tell you. Hip, hip, hooray.
Go see it. It's only out in theaters. And I was just saying as we were watching the premiere, like, wow, people really aren't used to going to the theater anymore. People don't get to the theater anymore. But they are going to have to. And it wasn't a terrible experience. You keep a little room between the person next to you, but keep your mask on and enjoy.
Yeah. Put your damn mask on.
And don't sit there and eat your popcorn for an hour.
Right.
Don't hold the popcorn thing and put the one piece in front of your face for an hour so you can keep your mask off. Like,
just
eat your popcorn
the mask
and put
up
it back
and put
on.
A piece of popcorn. Come on.
Come on, guys.
Be a dick. speaking of dicks, I wasn't going to talk about this, but it was announced in Deadline last week. I am in a TV miniseries called Gaslit, which is about...
Dick Nixon.
Well, it's mainly about John Mitchell and his insane wife, who John Mitchell, played by Sean Penn. Julia Roberts, of course, plays Martha Mitchell, his insane, boozy, alcoholic wife, who was a major factor in breaking the whole Watergate scandal, as you will find out. Also, if you read the amazing book Nixon Land, which is a whole other thing. But this is... a really interesting series. And I play Charles Colson, who was the first of Nixon's staff to go to jail. He was sent to jail. And then, of course, while he was in jail, became a born-again Christian, came out, did prison ministries, stuff like that. So I was doing a lot of research for the character because Charles Colson is a real particular sort of weasel who had his big jailhouse Christian conversion. And then, of course, just before his death, was saying, Obama has, of course, led the country horribly astray, and we need to get back on track with someone like Donald Trump. So again, never really.
Was he a Christian conversion just to look good, or was he actually, like, did he actually care?
I feel like he was.
Because there are a lot of people who say they're Christian, but they certainly don't act in good Christian morals or anything like that, even though they're like, I'm a good Christian, and then they're mean to everyone, including their neighbors.
I think he was following what he thought was good Christian conversion. I'm sure part of it was out of desperation in jail, and also the fact that his life basically fell apart. However, this is going to be kind of a rabbit hole, but it's a great rabbit hole. So the Charles Colson, when he gets out of prison, writes a memoir called Born Again about his conversion. That is then made into a movie in 1978, starring Dean Jones of Walt Disney fame. Dean Jones, of course, was in a lot of Disney films coming up. Including the Million Dollar Goose.
The Million Dollar Goose? I mean,
he was in all these goddamn.
Is that like the Incredible?
He was in the Herbie the Love Bug movies.
Is that like the Incredible Mr. Limpet?
Kind of, but no one turns into a goose. Yeah. Limpet is great and not a Disney film. So Dean Jones, who also became born again, he was struggling with massive depression all through his life, was going through a very ugly divorce, was famously in Stephen Sondheim's musical Company, which is parodied brilliantly on Documentary Now by John Mulaney and Bill Hader about. So anyway, they as he's doing Company, he tells Sondheim, "I can't do it. I'm going through this horrible depression." So he's on the cast album, but then does not do the musical. Some guy replaced him, and then won the Tony.
God, you've gone down so many Segway rabbit holes.
Where is so the actual story going? We'll see. So Dean Jones gets born again, literally drops to his knees one night. His wife at the time, Lori Patrick, witnesses this conversion, says he asked for God's presence in his life, and then suddenly his depression went away. Lori Patrick was the former Mrs. Harlan Ellison for 3 months in 1966. She was married to science fiction writer and gadfly Harlan Ellison. She also, I guess, you know, being married to Harlan will make you convert to Christianity. And they made this movie. The movie, again, stars Dean Jones, also boasts the screen debuts of both Morton Downey Jr. and Corey Feldman.
What?
Made their screen debut in the 1978 movie Born Again. And then Spire Comics did a comic book adaptation of the book because they're trying to get kids into Christianity, because that's what kids love in the late 70s. They love that sidewalk surfing, they love disco dancing, and they love reading comic adaptations about the religious conversions of imprisoned government officials. So groovy.
I like that.
Yes. They also, at one point, Spire Comics licensed the Archie Comics characters for some truly weird Christian message comics starring Jughead and Veronica.
Wait, did the writer of those comics, I mean, you said they optioned it, so did they know what they were going to be used for?
I think at the time—
I mean, can you just option them and like, hey, I'm going to do a porn magazine with
them? Well, I think at the time, Archie Comics and all comics weren't doing that well, and they were happy to license their stuff out anywhere.
Oh.
So that's why you saw a lot of DC and Marvel comic stuff appearing in, like, on kids' menus at Denny's and stuff like that. So anyway, the fact that the character that I was researching has connections to Harlan Ellison's ex-wife, Corey Feldman's screen debut, Morton Downey's screen debut, and Spire Comics misusing the kids from Riverdale for Christian conversions and recruitment. Mwah! What a fantastic rabbit hole! So a friend of mine just sent me this. This was texted to me. I guess this guy was recovering his Apple account, and he got this message after he recovered it. This is so weird. Okay, you ready? Imagine you're recovering your Apple ID and your account, all the stuff in it, you know. So here's the message he gets. Apple ID, account recovery contacts, makes resetting your password and maintaining access to your account easier than ever. And a new digital legacy program lets you designate people as legacy contacts so they can access your account in the event of your death.
Oh.
So now Apple has a thing where you can designate on the account if you die, someone is alerted and has access to all your accounts. So they can either, it's either A, to go and erase some stuff that you've told them, like, if you get this alert, you got to go erase a bunch of stuff that's on there. Or so they can get on your social media accounts and go, hey, he died, just letting you guys know.
Well, it's true. I mean, there are so many times someone will die and then whoever, a friend or somebody in the family will take over and be like, I know all of you love this person. There will be a memorial at this place. Right. And
but what if you haven't given your family or loved ones your passwords? How will they do that? Well, now, with a new Apple ID recovery legacy program, your information can be sent to a designated survivor who can then post for you.
How do all the other people who've died, how do other people get into their accounts? Like, how would you get into my Facebook account to be like, hey, guys, she kicked the bucket.
I don't know. When I didn't have any of Michelle's passwords, I couldn't go into her accounts and say that she had kicked the bucket. But I guess it's some
that's
people.
That's not a nice way to refer to it.
No, that's a horrible way to. Well, you just said kick the bucket.
Yeah,
and
but
put
I meant
it in
about
my head.
Me. But if somebody actually kicked the bucket, you won't. Right. You know, there's a little more.
Yeah, but
reverence.
I wouldn't say kick the bucket about you either.
But I was saying kick the bucket about myself.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of like you can say that your own self is fat, but you can't tell someone else they're fat.
Well, doesn't that mean you can also set up a timed post or tweet or Facebook update to be sent in the event of your death? But then again, how would it know? Yeah, how would it know? Although there's some famous people that clearly either their family or their business managers have access, and because they're able to go, I would like to say that this person has died today. We are all, you know, there's
or
that.
Or maybe there's some sort of thing like, you know, when a police officer has to get in for some reason, like your murder, and they need to check your phone to see, how you cope.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to do that, right?
There's got to be a way. So maybe when you die, there's like a thing on your phone where they can.
What was the last picture this guy took?
Who was it with?
Right. Who was there? Did he photograph his killers? but still, that is a. So someone is sent, like, I guess all your Spotify playlists, your podcast.
I think it might
go through and delete them.
I mean, what happens when you die? So, there's all that stuff online. You need to know some things. I have a little safe that has some things in there, like passport and stuff like that. You don't know the code.
That's true.
I keep my boyfriend's numbers in there.
I sent you the code for my safe. Why don't I know the code for your safe?
I mean, I told you what it was.
No, you didn't. You've never told me that the code to that safe.
Oh, that's where where I keep my little black book.
Speak Pipers, please call in with your guesses as to what the code to Meredith's safe is, please. So like, I guess you need someone there. Like, if I die, I need you to post, release the Snyder Cut. Even in the event of my death, I still need people posting my, doing my, what if like some edgelord dies or some shit poster dies? You're like, you still need to harass the following 10 accounts. I keep harassing.
I mean,
gotta keep it up for me, man.
It's so morbid, but you do have to tell your people what you want to be done.
Sure.
A friend of mine, this is sad, I'm just going to say it so it's not bringing the room down, but a friend of mine's mom died the other day. She was sick and she had cancer and she was struggling for a long time, so it wasn't like a terrible shock, and she had prepared and all that stuff. But I was talking to my mom and I was like, oh, her mom died. And she's like, oh. And then I was like, Mom, what do you want? Like, what do you want when you die? I don't know, Meredith. I don't want to talk about this. It's morbid. I'm like, yeah, okay, but what am I supposed to do?
Right.
She's like, well, I'm single and my best friend is single, so maybe we'll just get a plot together. And I was like, well, she's like, I don't want to be alone. And I was like, well, we're, anyway, it was a long conversation about, where are we all going to go? Where do we want to be?
Well, we're getting at that age.
And do you choose a thing for you and your spouse and your child, or your child one day is going to get married and want to be with theirs?
I don't know where they're going to be. Can't we all just be shot into space when we die? Can't that be, come on, Elon, just make it easy.
I mean.
Just orbit us around the sun,
I know,
all of us.
Before Michelle had passed away, you had bought a plot for you and Michelle. And was it Alice too? Did you get one for the three of you?
I don't know. I don't even remember that.
Well, anyway, so I was talking to my mom and I was like, I mean, I think Patton wants to, he already got that place. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, hop in bed with them? Like, what do I do?
Like a Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice kind of thing?
Yeah, like let's all just. I mean, listen, she and I are co-parenting together.
Yeah,
this is
true.
The weird thing that I tell everybody, because I actually tell Alice, listen, I can't make your mom mad. So you have to be good. So she's not mad at me. it's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I also feel like there's a lot of, how do I put this? There are a lot of pro-family, anti-gay marriage, anti a bunch of things, politicians and ministers who have very specific instructions to one person to delete my hard drive when I die. There's a lot of that, you know, a lot of those people, again, the classic, I'm really, really against gay marriage. We got to protect the family. If I die, make sure my hard drive gets throw it in the bathtub.
That's every Republican, honey.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I feel like Lindsey Graham has instructions to like blow up his whole house. Like there's stuff in there.
Yeah, he's like clear out the dungeon. Don't let that kid starve down there.
Just seal it or just seal it up.
Let him out. Let him out because I've been feeding him. And now that if I'm gone, that kid's going to starve down there if someone doesn't come in and feed him. So
if I die, let Fungelico run free. Okay, well, on that happy note, we're going to be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back.
Hi, guys. So I sent Meredith a delightful little video. I was thinking about it this morning. And
can I say what it is?
Why not?
Well, you said, I want to send you a sweet little song because I'm thinking about you and I love you or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you sent me a video.
Yep.
Of a guy.
Singing Joni Mitchell's.
Oh, I thought it was Carly Simon. Singing Joni Mitchell's.
Both Sides Now.
Yeah. And it was a beautiful song.
Beautiful rendition.
And I clicked on it and it says, John Hinckley sings this song. And I was like, John Hinckley, isn't that the dude who tried to kill Reagan because he was in love with Jodie Foster? Or is it a different John Hinckley? Like, clearly the murderer, guy would not have
his own. The attempted murderer.
The attempted murderer would not have his own YouTube channel for singing sweet songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, turns out the attempted murderer does not have his own YouTube channel. He has his own YouTube channel, Spotify station, and Twitter account. This was here's the one tweet he has posted so far. Hello, everybody. This is the real John Hinckley. I'm now a singer-songwriter. I have 10 original songs on Spotify and the other streaming sites. Check them out. Also, check out my YouTube channel. And indeed, on his YouTube channel, there are original country songs he has written, plus covers of Joni Mitchell songs.
Is his merch like him being taken away in handcuffs? Yeah, what is his merch? Because my friend Juliette Lewis had a mugshot when she was like 13 or 14.
Really?
It's the coolest picture ever. And she, you know, she's a rock star in addition to being an amazing actress. And her merch, some of her merch is like her, what's that called? Your mugshot.
Yeah.
And she has it on a t-shirt, and I bought it because it's cool as shit.
Why not?
Because she's cool as shit. But I wouldn't John Hinckley it up. I wouldn't wear his merch.
No. He sings. Okay, here's what he's singing so far. Got a couple of originals, including Unlock Your Heart. And hang on. Is this an original? Don't Give Up on Innocence. Don't Give Up on Innocence. Get it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Revolution of Love.
It's a Revolver of Love would have been.
Easy. A Different Side of Me.
Oh, dear God. I'm not a killer anymore. I'm a
Different Side
I'm
of Me.
Singer.
I'm a, so, yeah. But it's good that he is out there, I guess. He got parole. He's free. And he's singing his songs.
And they're lovely. He actually did
a nice
trying.
Job. I mean, I get, but he was a crazy killer. Who
I mean, do we hold people
wannabe killer?
Do we hold people accountable for? Yeah,
I don't know.
We do. I think we do. I think if you're going to try to
I
kill the president,
I think if you try to shoot the president, I don't think you get to get out.
I know.
Although Squeaky Fromm tried to kill Gerald Ford and she got out.
Why'd she get out? Because she was cute.
I don't. Who knows? I don't think she has a singing career.
Oh well, get on it, Squeaky.
So anyway,
maybe she's called Squeaky because she has a squeaky voice and she wouldn't have a very good singing career.
So maybe he'll do some covers of, I don't know, Foster the People, Jodeci, 38 Special. Who knows? So many possibilities and so many great songs he could do. You know, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, And Elvis Costello's My Aim Is True. John Hyatt's Missing You. Who knows? There's many wonderful. Oh boy, this is getting into creepy, like,
I want to hear it.
Morning DJ territory.
I want to hear
just
it.
Just bad jokes. Well, I'm on a thread with a million comedians, and all we do is trade jokes all day. So when I sent that out, what in the hell? So of course we were trading jokes like morons.
Did I ever tell you that you say "of course" and not "of course"?
Of course.
Because you do it all the time. You know, "of course." Yeah. You're like this, "of course." It's not "a course," honey. "A course" is like a math class. "Of course."
My friend Ben Schwartz said he shot Reagan, so we know he has a fan base.
I don't get it. Oh, I get it. You mean people don't like Reagan?
Yeah.
It's just funny.
It's so bad. And then my other friend said, "I'm willing to bankroll at least $100,000 to make the record at Sunset Sound with Rick Rubin and Timbaland. If he murders the tunes, hits the target date, and really kills it on Kimmel, I feel like it'll be a no-brainer." Okay. You know what? We just went too far.
I don't think we did. I think we can go further.
Oh, really?
I don't know. You're so good at rabbit holes. You could pun this shit up.
This isn't a rabbit hole. This is a rut. There's a difference. A rabbit hole is where we connect a bunch of facts. I'm just doing every variation I can on.
I know, but it's funny.
On bad assassination and song puns.
But a pun can go on forever. I mean, it's a Seth MacFarlane thing. You know, you just take that shit. Oh, you just let it go and go and go.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, let's answer some speak pipes.
Hey, you guys, I've been binging your podcast. I'm loving it. I was just listening to the one where you're talking about how Donald Trump becomes more human when you find out that music relaxes him in some way. And I was just thinking that Donald Trump is Gollum without Smeagol, and finding out he has a human part in him that likes music adds a little bit of Smeagol to him, and that's discomforting. Take care. Bye.
That's a really interesting way to put it. Yeah, one of the tensions in Return of the King is that Frodo is like, can we bring Gollum back? Can we bring him back to Smeagol? Because what he's saying is, can I come back from being, you know, connected to this ring? You're right. There's no Smeagol for Trump to go back to. He just came out as Gollum. There isn't anything there to save. So just those little moments, though, that can fool you for a second to go, maybe there's a human being in there, even though there's not. But yeah, I think that was one of the things that drew me to that.
Hey, it's Jackie. Check your calendar. Next year's color, Soylent Green.
Whoa, is that true?
Green, but Soylent Green.
Okay.
All right, I don't know if that's true or not. That's the she's referring to. We talked about how Pantone puts out a color of the year, so I am going to look that up. Either Pantone is having a laugh or she's having a laugh.
Either way, that's really interesting. Oh, yeah. Thank you for your call. Okay, let's go.
By the way, here's a weird fact. I didn't realize till recently, Soylent Green, you know the word Soylent?
What?
It's a combination of soy and lentils. What they're trying to say in the movie is that, oh, we've made these bars out of soy and lentils, but actually it's, you know.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to put myself in a really embarrassing position right now. And I know that Soylent Green is very famous, and I have no idea what it is right now. And I know it's from a movie, and I know part of me feels like it's like radioactive something.
No.
Tell me what Soylent Green is.
Very quickly, Charlton Heston film set in the
Is it
future.
The name of a film?
It's the name of a film called Soylent Green, based on a novel called Make Room, Make Room by Harry Harrison. And it is a, in the future, overpopulation. There's very little food left. The government makes these bricks called Soylent Red and Soylent Green.
Uh-huh.
And that's how people eat, because there's just no food. Like, only rich people have access to meat and vegetable stuff. Everyone else eats these Soylent bars. And then Charlton Heston finds out the last line of the film, Soylent Green is people.
Oh.
They're taking dead bodies and grinding them up.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so yay, the next Pantone color is Soylent Green.
Oh, also spoiler.
Okay.
One more.
Hey, so this isn't a question. This is just a comment. I was listening to the episode about the naked lady in the outback in Florida who got tased, and Patton pronounced Ocala, Florida as Ocala, and I laughed for a solid 2 minutes about that. So I just wanted to say thank you. I'm from Florida. I currently still live there, and it made me laugh really hard. So thank you. I appreciate that. I love your podcast. You guys are super cute. Every week when I get to listen to it, it helps me forget about being a stressed out 21-year-old. So I really appreciate it. Meredith, your Instagram is great. You take really lit selfies. They're great. Okay, I'm going to go now. Have a great week.
Okay, Victoria, you're adorable.
Yeah, and also, in my defense, the place names in Florida are so easy to mispronounce.
He mispronounces lots of things.
And when I was filming Burn Notice down there, I said Okeechobee, which made the whole crew.
What is it supposed to
Okeechobee.
Be? Okeechobee.
And they all started laughing. And then Ocala, which I think I said Ocala. Ocala, one of the co-stars made up a song about that town because they filmed a shootout scene there. And it was the hottest. They shot that show during July when there's no one in Florida because they want everything empty to shoot all the shootouts. So you're in 120 degree, super, super swampy heat in suits with guns. And he wrote a whole song about how horrible Ocala is.
So. Did he say the word Ocala in the song?
He might have, and so I misremembered it.
Well, now you know how to pronounce
now
it. Victoria, thank you for your call.
Thanks, Victoria. Now it's time for Did You Get Our Picks?
We'll tell you what we like, what we really, really like.
Yeah, tell me what you like, what you really, really like.
Hey guys, welcome back. We're going to do some of Patton's picks.
That's right. Okay, books. Read it in a day, blew through it. Peril by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. It is just basically the run-up to January 6th and the aftermath of Biden getting into the White House. It's... Yes, we knew how crazy and chaotic the Trump White House was, but the fact that this is such dispassionate fact, just the facts reporting as to the level of craziness really highlights what how actually crazy and how close we were to losing the country. The country could have stopped being America on January 6th.
Well, it can still stop. I mean, it's
no,
pretty-
exactly. We dodge it again, and it feels like without him saying it, that it's just a matter of time before it all collapses. And
unless it can be saved, and I have the optimistic notion that perhaps if we all work hard enough, it can be saved. Because the thing is, Republicans work in headlines. They like the big flashy headline, and they'll lie to you, like they're going to take your guns, or you know that kind of thing.
Right.
And the Democrats work in fine print. We have the task of actually wanting to govern,
right.
Actually wanting to make policies that get things done, mm-hmm. and fighting. It's very easy for people to go vote when they're angry.
Yeah.
And so if someone says, they're going to take your guns, they're like, shit, we got to get to the polls. They can't take my guns. But when Democrats are like, we have this, it's tedious.
Yeah.
We're doing the work that actually helps make the world a better place. We're trying to get a child's tax credit for you guys. We're trying to get better funding for schools. We're trying to get an infrastructure bill that will help you have access to internet services in poor areas.
Right.
We're trying to help everyone and to get healthcare for everyone. And all they want to, anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But what I'm saying is it's really, and it was also really interesting to read a lot of the reviews online. You know, I read books on an iPad, so people can leave reviews, and there was all these scathing reviews by pro-Trumpers about how Bob Woodward has finally stopped being a reporter and is now this is a political screed. All he's doing is just literally reporting what was said and what was done. But it's so damning because it's like reporting on a murder. If you dispassionately report on a murder, it actually makes the murder sound even worse because it's so inhuman what's going on. And they're like, by reporting what Trump said in front of cameras, you're on a political rant.
Right.
I'm just telling you what he did.
Listen, he said he likes to stick his fingers up people's pussies. I mean, for Christ's sakes, grab him by the pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
He said it. So if we say what he said to show you how vile he is, we're the bad guys.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, but...
Well, okay, so what's the book you recommended?
Peril.
Okay, cool.
Bob Woodward, Robert Costa, great read, just really fun, if you like that kind
it's
of thing.
It's a fun read about our crumbling democracy.
It's a fun read about the end of America.
Okay, great.
Movies. Another movie that I missed last year, I watched a couple days ago, is right now on Shudder, if you get Shudder, or download it. It's called Anything for Jackson. Came out last year. Two amazing performances by Sheila McCarthy and Julian Richings about a bereaved couple whose daughter and grandson died as a result of a car accident, and they will do anything to bring their grandson back.
Pet cemetery.
Anything.
Pet cemetery.
This is way worse than Pet Cemetery.
What's it called?
It's called Anything for Jackson.
And it's a movie?
It's a movie, and boy.
When was it?
Came out last year.
Oh, wow.
All my friends were telling me, you have to see this movie. It's so scary.
Is it, like, would I hate it?
You would not like it.
Okay.
It is very, very intense. Here are the two weird things. First, the two main actors who play the grandparents, Sheila McCarthy and Julianne Richings, between them have been in, like, 400 films. You've seen these people in everything, and their performances here are fantastic. And the director and writer, directed by Justin G. Dick and written by Keith Cooper, they have the weirdest IMDb's I have ever seen. This guy, Justin G. Dick, the director, I'm going to read you some of his movies, okay? You ready?
And I might chime in with an interesting quip.
Okay, and she might chime in with a quip. But okay, and this is leading up to Anything for Jackson. Ready?
Yep.
Monkey in the Middle. My Dad is Scrooge. A Puppy for Christmas. Operation Christmas List, Super Detention, A Witch's Ball, 48 Christmas Wishes, A Very Country Christmas, Best Friend from Heaven, Christmas Wedding Planner, My Perfect Romance, Christmas with a Prince.
So Bubbles and Puppies and
Bubbles and Puppies and more. And then suddenly Anything for Jackson, which is just the most intense, crazy horror movie. And then right after that, Pony Sitters Club, The Big Sleepover, Love and Harmony Valley.
Oh my God, what happened?
Christmas in the Rockies, A Christmas Exchange.
So this guy was like, hey man, he's talking to his agent, and he's like, I've been doing all these boring sweet pie movies, and I want something gritty. Well, I want something that's going to change my image. It's like when the Disney girls have been doing Disney shows, and then all of a sudden they're like, I want to be a slut. Put me in something sexy. Show them my sexy side. Yeah. And then they, you know, twerk on stage.
Well, this guy, Justin, and his writer, Keith Cooper wrote most of those movies that I read, these wonderful family TV movies. These guys are based in Canada, all Christmas-themed, puppies and unicorns and stuff. And I guess they had both had a weird wild hair up their ass one day and said, let's do this horror movie.
They took mushrooms and they're like, I can't stand these sweet little puppies.
But boy, did they make a humdinger of a horror movie and then went right back to A Puppy for Christmas.
Maybe they were like, that was fucking insane, dude.
That's it.
I can't do that. I'm going back. That was too dark. We got too dark.
But knowing their filmography makes Anything for Jackson even more extraordinary than it already is, if that makes sense. It is truly a weird outlier in these guys' careers. And by the way, they work steadily doing these movies. Maybe, and all the movies get really good reviews, the children's movies, so maybe they're good at doing it. And they said, let's just try a horror movie. And they made one of the scariest horror movies of the last 10 years. So,
now that you've said that, I really kind of want to see it. Am I going to hate it?
I mean, no, well, you'll like it, but you'll be scared shitless.
Is it like a person coming out like a, you know, that girl from The Ring who jumps out of the TV? Like,
no, it's more about, it's like a lot of body horror stuff.
Like, what does that mean?
Like weird things happening to the human body.
Like?
Because of demonic stuff.
Oh. And I did a movie.
They call up a demon, but the demon doesn't come alone, is all I'm saying.
I don't know
what
that means.
A lot of other things come with this demon.
I did a horror movie where I was possessed by a, not just an evil spirit, but also an actual thing. It was a serpent. It wasn't a real serpent. It was like a scary creature.
What was the movie?
The Kiss.
Oh.
Aunt Felice is
but
coming.
I thought you fought off Aunt Felice. Do you get possessed at one point?
I mean, she tries to French kiss me.
Right.
The movie was originally called The Kiss. Wait, it is called The Kiss.
It is called The Kiss.
No. The movie was originally called The Host.
Ooh.
And it's about this thing, this creature thing that like a parasite scary thing that comes inside you and like possesses you. And that's what happened to Aunt Felice. Aunt Felice is coming for Christmas.
But did it possess you or you managed to fight her off at the last minute?
Yo, I'm a heroine, yo. Man, fight off everything. I fight off a crocodile. I fight off a bad...
A depression-era rapist?
Yeah.
Yeah, so It's Anything for Jackson. And the tagline for the movie is Fear the Elderly.
Oh.
Yeah. So it is a real, really scary, fucked up movie, but really well made with two amazing performances.
Okay. Do you have other recommendations?
Yes. Comic books. New collection by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips came out. Destroy All Monsters. They do a series of crime comics about a character named Reckless. The first one was called Reckless. Second one was called Friend of the Devil. This new one is called Destroy All Monsters. He's a ex-60s hippie radical who now kind of lives in the L.A. Venice Beach underground and does favors for people, kind of works outside the law, and it's just great, gritty 70s sunshine L.A. noir. Fantastic. I love it. Pushes all the crime buttons for me.
I like it.
And then music, I know I've already recommended this group, but something really cool happened this week. I'm a huge fan of the group Bleached. Two sisters out of Silver Lake in East LA doing songs, and their new album, Don't You Think You've Had Enough, I love. And guess who just discovered it anew and now loves it? Our daughter Alice. When we went to school this morning and the other day driving around, I played her some Bleached songs, and now she loves them. Her current four favorites that she plays all the time in the car now are Daydream, Somebody Call 911, Rebound City, and I Get What I Need. Great, fun, rocking songs. Again, I'm re-recommending them because it was fun to watch my 12-year-old daughter discover them and go, oh, these guys are great.
Oh, your 50-year-old wife needs to discover them too.
Oh, you'll love them. They're so good. So those are our recommendations.
So here's the thing, guys. This is the end of the podcast, but I just want to chat with you for a second. Patton's laughing at me. But we want to talk to you. Call in on our SpeakPipe and or email us at heydidyougetmytext@gmail.com. And, you know, listen, give us your opinion, stuff like that.
Let us know.
But thanks for listening. It was fun having you.
See you next week.
Bye.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
heydidyougetmytext@gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.